down by cutting them, as with a scythe, but they've not rooted the thorns out. And when the seed springs up, so do the thorns. And when the thorns spring up, they surround the seed and its plant being produced and choke it so that it bears no fruit. That's strangled soil. Now the fourth kind of soil is submissive soil. It's the exact opposite of all the others. Instead of being solid, it's soft. Instead of being shallow, it's deep. Instead of being strangled, it is regularly weeded out. And how we need to do that every day of our lives. So that it is submissive to the penetration of the seed, to the putting down of the shoot, to the coming up of the plant, and to the bearing of fruit. Good soil. Let's go over them again. What kind of hearing do we have pictured here? The first one is a deceived kind of hearing. Now listen. If nobody else knows the value of the seed planted, the devil does. And you may be sure he will capitalize on what he knows with every opportunity we give him. And he is a master at it. Let me give you an illustration of that. C.S. Lewis, in his book Screwtape Letters, tells this story. You see, Screwtape was Satan's right-hand assistant on this given scene. And he said he knew a man who would go into the British Museum and would open a book and just read for his general awareness and knowledge and learning. He would just read whatever he chose to read that given time. One day, mid-morning, he went into the British Museum and selected a book and sat down and started to read. And Screwtape, you see, the letters are written from Satan's standpoint. Screwtape said, he was one of my chief clients, one of my chief patients. He avowed himself to be an atheist, and I had him. Didn't have to worry about it. But he said this particular morning he went in and selected a book, and right in the middle of his reading, there was a mention of God, and all of a sudden his mind was alerted. And Screwtape said instantly, the enemy was on hand. That's the Holy Spirit. He was on hand to work in this man's mind, to point him to Christ, and to make him aware of God. And he said, I knew that 20 years of making that man an atheist was about to disappear down the drain if I did not do something fast. And he said, I immediately acted. I crept up to him and planted the suggestion in his mind that it's too close to dinner time to think of things like that. He said, you see, I talked to him in the one area that I had most under my control, his flesh, his body, his appetites. And he said, when I placed that suggestion there, the man said, oh, that is too weighty a thought. I can think better on a full stomach. I'm going to have lunch first. So he got up and started out of the museum. He said he had not gotten down the steps outside and onto the curb of the street before every thought was eradicated out of his mind that he'd had of God. And he said, here's the way I did it. As he started down the steps, I distracted him by a newsboy selling the noonday paper down on the street. I asked him to listen for a moment. And then a number 73 city bus started roaring down the street. And he said, as he stepped up there to the curb, I got him to watching that, listening to the noise as it went by. And he said there were several other distractions put in his place. And in a little while, every thought of God had been completely snatched out of his mind. Satan had brainwashed him. Now this is what Jesus is saying right here. This is deceived listening. The devil loves this kind of hearing. He never intends to decide. He never intends to make it penetrate, or to allow it to penetrate. He's doing his due just by being there. And if he ever even hears it just with these ears, he's proud because he's created some merit for himself in being there. Jesus Christ says that is an abomination in the sight of God. All right, the second type of soil. This is the demonstrative listener. Oh, just tell me and I'm with it. And then day after tomorrow, you can't find me anywhere. This person is the victim of what I call the epidemic spirit. You just put any little contagion that has a little emotion to it in the air, and he's swept up and on his way. And the great crowds gather behind him. This is the John 6 type of listener, who when they saw the miracles Jesus did in great crowds, they swept into his presence, and he would not tolerate it. He began to drive them away until when the chapter ends, he turns to his disciples who are there alone with him, and he says to them, will ye also go away? You see, they didn't succumb to the epidemic spirit. The third kind of listener is the distracted listener. He's double-minded. The good seed is planted and starts to bear, but there's something else there, and it creeps up, and they have a contest, and the good seed always loses unless there is weeding out. Now, you mark that down. The good seed will always lose. You see, you don't have to cultivate weeds. They just grow automatically. That's your nature. It's a weedy nature. It's full of sin. It grows automatically that way. But you have to cultivate the good seed. And if you allow the distractions of those weeds to continue to grow and remain double-minded, they will choke out the good seed and it will not bear fruit. The fourth kind of listener is the discerning listener. And Jesus gave about four qualifications of him, which we'll come back to in just a minute. What kind of heart is represented here? Well, the first one is the hard, heedless heart. This is the person who literally says, "Oh, this is for the birds." That's what Jesus said. It's for the birds. Never penetrates, and the birds sweep down, gathered up, and carried away. That's the job of Satan. But this person says, "Oh, that's for the birds. I don't have to be serious about that." The second person, the second heart, is the hollow heart. Now follow me very carefully. And I'm going to say something here that would be easy to misunderstand. I'm going to count on God letting us understand it. When Jesus said this kind of person receives the seed upon the soil, it penetrates, and it springs up quickly with joy, he was not commending that person. He was judging him. You see, there should be some suspicion in our minds anytime a person says, "Boy, isn't this great? I am so happy about this. I heard the gospel today and received Jesus today. Isn't this great? I'm so happy about it." The Bible teaches that that is not the way to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you are a sinner. And unless you receive it with a godly sorrow that produces repentance, you have not received the gospel of Jesus Christ. Leave the joy till later. Get your heart down where it belongs before God and bleed it out before Him in any condition in which you are alien to His purpose for you. That's the way to approach the hearing of the gospel. Be aware of the fact that in you are absolutely dependent on God. And if your initial response is one of joy, that's too shallow. Jesus said that comes up immediately. And with gladness of heart, you just flip here, there, and everywhere receiving the gospel. He says you are judged because there is no fruit in your life. You wither just as quickly as you rise up. And then the last kind of heart is the whole heart. This is the person who comes with an unprejudiced mind because he has intended to. He's spent some time with God getting the prejudices out of his mind. He comes with an open heart because he has intended to, saying, "Lord, you speak. Let God the Lord speak to his people, and I will hear what he says to his people, to the believers." This is a person who has an understanding heart because he intends to. He's prayed about it. He's asked God to give him understanding. And Jesus in Luke's gospel says he listens and bears fruit with patience. That means he determines to go on no matter what gets in his way and whatever distractions are there. Now, how does he arrive at that? Let me have a last moment. You see, he started off maybe with a hard heart. But he said, "Lord, this is not right for me to respond to your truth like that. I fence my life around deliberately with care, with spiritual, eternal care, and with prayer. And I ask you to begin to break up the hardness of my heart so that I can with meekness receive the infused word of God which is able to save my soul." All right, the second type of soil. What's the treatment there? Well, if you'll open your heart to God, he'll take care of the rest with regard to the second type. You see, that type of soil is shallow. And God has plowshares everywhere, and they are sharp pointed, and how people run from those when they are running from their best destiny. A grief, an inward depression, some outward affliction that is imposed upon you, some discipline from God. These are God's plowshares, sharp tipped, and down into that soil they come. When they strike rock, God backs up and blasts away at the rock in order that there might be depth of earth for you to bear fruit. But how we run from those plowshares, listen, don't run. That is your happiest destiny, to let God break up that soil and penetrate down into depth. What about the third type of soil? What's the treatment that's needed? It needs to be weeded out. How Christians run from that. Have you ever known a gardener who was ever accused by anybody for a daily weeding of the soil in his garden? You would think him stupid to try to raise a crop if he did not daily weed that garden. I find out that every day I live,